Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Joan's soccer stuff came in today.
I was just watching the U.S. women's national team is playing, and I was fangirling.
She's
they're already
she's wearing her shin guards to bed. Like, she tried them on, and she's not taking them off and she's wearing them. She went to sleep with them on.
That's adorable.
I'm so cool. I'm going to be so good at soccer. And she already was playing soccer before the pandemic, and it was like she, because Clyde coached, and she just wanted to hold his hand and cried when she had to go off the field, and she cried when like other kids were hitting the ball, and like Clyde wasn't paying attention to her.
Right.
Oh. So I think it's gonna go better this time.
That's so exciting. So does she get like a whole uniform, or is it just like
she gets a shirt?
Okay.
Yeah, like a YMCA, like Goochland.
Yeah.
Shirt. And then I have shortsies for her. I got shin guards and socks, and she'll just wear sneakers. She's, you know, 5.
Yeah. So, yeah.
She's on the 5-6 team now.
They don't wear cleats until they're older, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. Aubrey is, I think she's going to be an athlete.
Yeah. She's very strong.
She's going to be 6 feet tall. So I wanted to talk about her, the silent night thing.
Okay. So we're talking about Lois, who is our amazing guest this week. And just, I mean, I'm still like, I took notes on things she said, and like the trying to do the 10 minute workout in the morning, trying to like make a commitment to myself. Like that's, Lois inspired me to do that. I was like, I have to find a way to do this. So, okay. So tell us about the silent night story. Yes, she didn't get into that.
She didn't get into that because she is awesome. And she, I know that this might make her feel a little bit awkward because she doesn't like to bring a lot of attention to herself. She did not bring it up because she is incredibly humble, but this is what her students and her community did for her when she retired. And she is somebody who would not want to bring all this attention to herself, but she deserves it because she worked really long and hard and poured her everything into her students and into her community and into her family. So I'm going to brag on her a little bit. So when she retired from teaching, this is just a testament to how beloved and amazing she is. She worked in the community of Radford, Virginia, and I don't know how it came about, but students that she taught throughout her entire career, who are now grown and have their own families and their own kids, came from all over. This was like a Mr. Holland's Opus moment, came from all over to her final choir concert. And they surprised her and sang Silent Night because that was her favorite song that they would do every Christmas. But they involved everybody, like everybody that came. And it was on the news and everything. She was like that teacher, you know, that inspired many. So it was just really neat. I'm so glad she got a send off like that. And I just really love spending time with Lois. What did you feel like you got from her, Sarah?
Oh, just a real sense of, I can do this. You know, because I think listening to her talk about how she did it, and she had young kids and she had a successful program and was so involved with our state, you know, leadership, but was still like, and I exercised and but it wasn't perfect, but I tried and I did it and I made it work. So I felt a renewed sense of confidence in myself and our future. I still think about the conversation. I took notes, you know, and I'm like trying to implement it to my life.
I feel like one of my favorite things about Lois too, is that she's a big deal. Like one of our later guests calls her Yoda. She is. But the thing is when you talk to her, she doesn't take herself too seriously. Like she's confident, but she laughs and has humor and makes fun of herself. And the other thing about her that I feel like sticks out is that she genuinely loves her life. Like not just loves her job. She really loves her life. And that's just refreshing to be around because there's lots of negativity around these days, but she's realistic, but she loves her life and is grateful.
It's still like a light and an inspiration for what, you know, I can do as I get older and hope that one day I can maybe retire and do fun things.
Oh my gosh. So here she is. We hope you enjoy Lois.
Okay, Lois, so can you tell us about yourself, where you grew up, your background in teaching, what you're doing now? We want to hear all about it.
Sure, thanks. So I grew up in Vermont and went to the University of Connecticut, got my music teaching degree there, and met my husband there, and he is a choral director as well. But he had been working on getting his doctorate. He had actually gone out to Illinois to work on his doctorate. And he took a job at Radford University. So this was back in 1986. That's when we first got married. And he had actually interviewed for three. He had gone like three airline flights in a row kind of thing. He interviewed for a job in California and one in Louisiana. And then he gets to Radford, interviews there. He loved it. It was his last interview. Loved it. He calls me up and he says, oh, this job is so great. You know, it's in Radford, Virginia. And I hadn't looked on a map or anything. There was no Google back then, ladies. So I never, you know, I didn't look on a map. I called my mom up and she always has her atlas nearby anyway. And I said, Radford, she said, oh, that's near Roanoke. She said, Roanoke Island, because she knew how much I love water. I love being at the ocean. I was like, oh, Mom, that's so great. We're going to be at the ocean. And then I looked at the map and I was like, oh, no, we're not going to be at the ocean. No,
that's not the ocean.
It's very far away from the ocean. Anyway, we loved living in Radford. We were there for 30 years. I mean, it became home for sure. That's where we raised our kids. And I don't know. Anyway, what else did you ask? So yeah, I grew up in Vermont. That's why we came back to Vermont, right?
Okay.
Kind of thing. So David's from Connecticut. And we still had some family up here. And we just, I don't know, it just called us home, you know? So yeah. As much as we miss everybody in Virginia, like, miss it horribly, but we really love being here too. So yeah. And then I was really lucky because so you know, he takes me to, you know, the godforsaken place of Radford, Virginia. not that I ever lived any place that was swanky or anything. I mean, I've always been a rural gal, so we end up there. And, you know, we were like, well, we'll only be here a couple of years, you know, we'll, you know, cause we had big plans, you know, we're going to go other places and all. And then we had our kids and we just fell in love with it. We just loved it. It was such a great place to raise kids. So, So this was the point. So he gets the job at the university and my first teaching gig was actually in Montgomery County. They hired me as an elementary. I taught for a couple years in Connecticut, so I had a little bit of experience. My experience was all in grade 7 through 12, and that was kind of my niche, right? I really like middle school and high school. Really love that. But they needed an elementary teacher, and so I worked at Auburn, and then it was a school that they knocked down that was actually really close to Radford. But they've since knocked it down. And I was there for like 3 or 4 months. And then the accompanist position at Radford High School opened up. And I was like, man, if I'm going to get my foot in the door there, that's how to do it. And so that's what I did. And what Lois Carr, and she was such an institution there. Oh my gosh, she was an institution. And so when she saw that I had some, you know, in her opinion, I had some skills, and knew that I was a, you know, certified teacher, she decided that it was time for her to get a cushy job and teach elementary. I don't agree with that myself.
Right. Oh, it's having taught elementary, I highly
disagree.
Nothing cushy about that.
I mean, she taught something like 25 years, something like that at high school. And so she went to the elementary job.
Dreams.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
So she basically said, hire her, and they did. And so, I mean, for me to get the one job in that little town, you know, where the university was, where David was teaching, it was just, I mean, I look back on that and think, holy moly. I don't know that I was living right, but I was pretty lucky.
Yeah, that's like fated.
Yeah. It works out.
Yeah.
It was just great.
And so what was your piano background? Like, so she said that was how you got in. What was your background with piano?
Yeah. So I was, in school, I was both a piano and voice major. You know, I did both. So I started life as a pianist and then fell into the singing thing. So
did you do both those things in high school?
I did. Yeah. In fact, I was the accompanist for the high school choir when I was in high school. So, yeah, so it was great. That's what landed me the job. And boy, I held on to it.
How did you see it grow from when you first got in?
Wow. She had a great program. It was a well-established program. You know, there's always that sort of like, what's better, you know? You come into an established program and then you get compared all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You come into a program that needs to be built and then you get to build it.
Right.
Right? So, I don't know. It was a really good established program. What I did, there was no middle school program, really. The eighth graders were part of a high school, which was just how the school was structured mm-hmm. historically. So I made a lot of changes just in the curriculum. And like they didn't have an advanced choir, so I offered an advanced choir eventually. And so it really did grow up. At one point there, and this was before all of the state regulations changed, you know, there was a time in the 90s when Virginia Department of Education kept adding more and more requirements.
Yeah.
You know, where it was 3 years of social studies, now it's four. Where it was, 2 years of foreign language, now it has to be three. And then it has to be four. And then it has, they kept adding and adding and adding. Well, before all of that craziness, I had some years, I had about 50% of the student body was in the choir.
Wow.
Yeah. Do it.
It was great and it was awful because sometimes there were some years, I think I had 80 kids, 80 high school kids, and then 80 middle school kids like in the room all at the same time, which.
Yeah, that's hard.
That was kind of hard. But, you know, as all those requirements were added, it definitely settled down. And yeah, so it was just an awesome gig.
And so So when did you have kids? When did you become a mom?
So I became a mom in 1990. So Paul is he's turning 31 on Friday. God, I can't believe it. I think I wrote to you that I was 12 and I had him. Admit it. I know, I wasn't 12. So I became a mom in 1990. And then Elise was born in 1993.
And you were at the high school then? You were in the middle of that?
Yeah. Yep. I dropped them, threw them on my back, and went back to school. Kind of felt like that.
So did they go through Radford and everything?
Yeah, they went through the school system, and they were in my choir, which was really cool. Yep, Elise was the one that, you know, knew how to push my buttons. But Paul was just very laid back. He's my older child, and he was pretty laid back. And, you know, he would call me Mrs. C. That's what the kids always called me, is Mrs. C. But, you know, Elise has this funny thing where she feels like she can't get my attention because I ignore her.
I've heard her do this.
yeah, you have heard her do it. So, Mrs. C, mom.
I feel like I've heard her call you Lois. Yeah.
And then, Lois!
Yeah.
Right, and she would do that in class. So, you
know. Escalate. Oh my gosh.
Several times after class, I'd have to pull her aside and say, look, you gotta just chill yourself.
Calm myself. Oh
my gosh. Yeah.
That will be my kid. If she's in my choir, that will be
my gosh, Joan. Yep. I can't even imagine Joan and choir.
We didn't expect our kids to sing. I mean, you know, we both have kids. I mean, we both sing. We'd like to think they really were horrible at piano. So that wasn't going to work out for them. But they both wanted to be in choir, you know, and their friends did too, which was cool. So, that was a lot of fun. Cool.
So this is why I'm curious about, what was it like doing all of that, middle school, high school, all the things, having little kids?
Hard.
Yeah.
You guys know that. It's so hard. And this is just life, you know, over time. You forget bad things that have happened to you. You don't forget that they happened, but it's not as rose-colored. Difficult, right? Because time gives you, you know, a lot of perspective. But I remember one time trying to bake chocolate chip cookies. This was in our old house, and they were both really little, because I would make my students chocolate chip cookies. Anyway, they were just being awful. And David, of course, David wasn't home. He was teaching, I guess, late or something. And I just remember throwing the whole thing in the trash, like the batter. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen, you know. Just getting angry at stuff like that, which is silly. But it was hard because you don't feel like you're doing any of it 100%. But that's the way it is. That's how it is. And I'll tell you what, in the end, I know that my kids are better human beings because I was a teacher. And because I was not a stay-at-home mom, I would have been a horrible stay-at-home mom. I think I would have hurt them. I'm sure I would have.
I know that after quarantine.
But I really don't. That's not me, you know? And so, you know, those, and I know you guys, you feel this, right? The first day of school after you've been with them all summer and you've got to drop them off at daycare or you have to, like, even, and when they're really little and you've got to give them to a babysitter and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it just aches. And they're fine. They're all like, yeah, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And they end up, I really think my kids are so much better for, they had that social interaction, right? They got so much good stuff out of being with other children and I was a better parent because I was teaching overall, except for the times when I get like really angry at them.
Did you ever have a season or a time where you can remember thinking like, maybe I should stay home, maybe I should change positions, or like, did you ever have a season?
I didn't have a season. I did ask, you know, this is such old fashioned. This is going to tell you how it was back in the day when I was getting ready to go back to work. I took about 8 weeks off, I think, with both kids. Which wasn't much, but all I could do. Anyway, I went to the superintendent to ask, was there any way that I could teach part-time? I could do just middle school or just high school. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like I had two heads. Like it was just the most ridiculous request. And I even think he went so far as to say, well, you're the one who chose to have a child. Because I was really torn up about going back after having him. I mean, everything worked out fine in the end, but no, you know, there were definitely times when I got really frustrated and sure. Cause you even think about, I don't think I ever thought about staying home monetarily. That wouldn't have worked for us anyway. Mm. But, oh yeah. There were times when I thought about, could I do a different job that wouldn't demand all the evening stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's what just gets you, is all the extra, the districts and the prep for it and the after school and the musicals and the, you know, it just feels like it's never ending and you finish one thing and then you're on to the next. And this is, I think Mandy said the same thing too. My kids just came to school with me. Mm-hmm. They could recite all the lines to the musicals. Like I could have had them on book, you know, at the age of five.
Yeah.
Although I stopped doing musicals for a while when they were real little. So when I said age of five, I was like, no, I didn't do that then.
Yeah.
I didn't do it for a while. And then I started doing it again when they were maybe close to middle school.
Yeah. Right. Cause they could come and be in it.
Or they have their own activities, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they were already there at school. I mean, that's the nice thing about a place like Radford is that it's all small. Like, you don't have far to go for anything.
Right.
And so many people are willing to help you out with transportation. And
yeah.
We only lost one kid once, so.
That's, only one kid.
That's pretty good.
But how did you, what happened? How did you lose?
I was doing a musical. And he was... Paul was maybe in fourth grade. So I guess I was doing them when he was in fourth grade. That means Elise was really little. Forget what I just said. anyway, was it, you know, it was, maybe it wasn't a musical. Maybe I was doing, like, I used to do a way off Broadway thing, which was like a Broadway review. Anyway, it was an evening thing at the school. And David's at the school. They, you know, I'm at the piano. I was at, you know, I saw him come in. Anyway, I do the performance. The performance is done. I go to see him. And he's got little Elise. And I'm like, where's Paul? And he said, I thought you had him. You know, it's that thing.
Oh, no.
That was before cell phones, y'all. So it wasn't like,
we had someone call us and said.
So our son took dance lessons. Like, he went to a ballet studio during this time. And that's where he was, and that's where he was left. David was supposed to pick him up at the ballet studio.
So he's still at the ballet studio.
Oh, no.
David goes, like, he runs to the car, and he goes, well, luckily, the woman who teaches dance still had classes going on. You know, because generally it would be the younger ones in the afternoon and then older and older. And so it was high school. Well, there was our Paul sitting in the window just staring at all these girls. Like, he didn't even know that
he hadn't been left. He'd been blessed.
He's like, this is awesome, man.
That's so funny. Wait, so who went to pick up? You went to go pick him up?
David ran.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
So he came up and told you, well, he was fine.
No, but he hadn't eaten or anything.
I think he was okay.
So funny. Oh my goodness.
Oh, man. Lois, one of the things I always have admired and respect about you is you're one of those people I feel like that rocks middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. And like that burned me out. Like, I don't know how you did that.
Yeah.
Like, it just, so what was your favorite level to teach since you mastered middle and high? What did you love the most?
So there's no contest in my mind. I love middle school. I love high school too, but in a heartbeat. Oh my gosh. I did, just today doing virtual, you know, David knows, he hears me say it all the time. I love middle school. They're so funny, you know, and they're more like sponges. They just want to soak everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And with the high school, now I'm going to be a little bit negative, but I did love, you know, the kind of repertoire you can do with high school is obviously so much, you know, better, more advanced, but they can become jaded. You know, and they get a little bit more jaded and a little bit more attitude and a little bit like they might know more than you do. And they could know more than I do. I try to, you know, when that happens, I try to say, yep, you know more than I do. You got it. You know, but I just adore middle school. So, hands down, it would be middle school. I think that people with middle school either love it or really don't love it. I wouldn't say hate it, but people are hot and cold with middle school.
Yeah.
I think I would have loved middle school more if I was just teaching middle school. I feel my attention was torn between a big high school program and a big middle school program.
I was lucky at Radford that it's all in one unit and there's only one chorus room. All the kids come to that chorus room, right?
That would make it easier.
They're all on the same schedule. And it is different admin, but they work really well together because they know that the kids come over, the middle schoolers come over for their foreign languages. They come over for all the arts, you know, so it's a nice little gig. So, yeah. But if somebody told me at any point you get to choose and that's what you're going to do, I would choose middle school.
What's a favorite middle school moment that you have? Do you have one that pops in your head?
Yeah, it involves my son. We had gone to Disney World. He was in my choir. I told you that, right? So he's in my, I think he was in eighth grade. And we had been to Disney World and we bought a fart machine. Okay, so it was like this machine. It was battery operated and it had a remote. And do you remember my accompanist, Mrs. Ray? Do you remember Mary Ray? Do you remember her? Did you? She's British. She was English.
Okay. Maybe, did she accompany you guys at assessment?
Yes.
Okay. I probably would.
She even introduced assessment for a couple
of years. Oh, yeah. Okay.
She loved her British accent.
Yes.
I just loved her British accent.
Yes.
Yeah. Funny lady. Well, but very proper, you know, British proper. So, and it was a big class of middle schoolers, and he took the I was in on this. He took the fart machine and taped it under the piano bench. And this was on a Friday. It was perfect. And then he sat, you know, in his little baritone section, and he would just hit the button every once in a while, you know? It's just like, oh my, ooh, ooh my. You know, we didn't let it go on for that long. We figured it out. She thought it was hysterical.
That's so funny.
That is so amazing.
And you wrote something about a kid on stage.
Oh yeah. That's a high school thing though. That was a concert. This kid had missed school that day. I think it was a freshman. Really good kid, really sweet kid. And he had missed school. He was sick. And his mom called me about 5 o'clock. She called me at home and said, look, he's feeling so much better. And he doesn't want, this was spring concert. He's feeling so much better. Do you think that I said, okay, don't say anything to anybody. Cause you know, all the school rules about, you know, if you don't come to school, you can't play.
Right.
So anyway, the kid comes to the concert, right? And he's in his tux and everybody's, you know, the guys are in their tuxes and the girls in their dresses. And we were doing this song, we're on the stage, everything's going great. And I could see him starting to turn green. Just a little green, like I could tell. You know how when you can tell a kid's about to faint or not?
Yes.
And I was just praying, please get to the end of the song. Please get to the end of the song. You know, we were almost there. It was this African thing we were doing. I can't remember. And we get to the end of the song, and I knew I had to get him off the stage. So I go up to him, and that's when he threw up. Like when I say he threw up, he projectile. It was everywhere.
Oh my God.
Everywhere. I was wearing open-toe shoes.
Oh, it got over you.
Luckily, he was in the front row, so it didn't get, you know what I'm saying?
But other kids. Yeah.
All the kids.
I mean, everybody. And what was so funny, and the kid, these aren't kids anymore. They're like friends of mine that are in their 40s. They're older than you guys. Because this is how long ago this happened. When I get together with them sometimes, we just love telling the story because the students were all like standing there, like looking at me. And I gave some kind of indication that we were going to still go on. Like, yeah, there's all this vomit on the stage, but you know, the show must go on. And they're all like this, and this won't translate in the podcast, of course, but they're like holding their mouths and going,
oh, oh no.
About to get sick. Oh God.
And the audience was silent. There was no, the kid ran off, right? The audience was silent. So I get up on the podium and I turned around, I looked at the audience and I said, we're going to take a break for a little bit. Sigh of relief. You could hear this big sigh of relief. All the students scattered. There's probably 60 of them on the risers. They just scatter because there are boys. Of course, I had some awesome parents in the audience who came running up to help. You know, boys who had vomit on their tuxedos. And one kid, Jonathan Gentry, I'm friends with him on Facebook. The next, or even that night, I guess he said to me, Mrs. C, I was okay until I saw that chunk of ham.
Oh my goodness. Because of course they all can't look away.
No, yeah, you have to look. It's a train wreck. You have to look.
All went running out. If there's more, I'll finish the story because there's more to it because it even gets funnier. So they all go running out. There are parents coming up to help. Parents trying to find a custodian. Of course, can't find him. We know there's one in the place, but he's nowhere to be found. My accompanist takes me outside so we can just, I can take a breath and we can laugh. But here's another, so then they were, finally the stage gets cleaned up and we get to finish a concert. Well, there were so many kids in the program at that point that they couldn't sit in the auditorium and watch each other. Mm. So the middle schoolers were in the chorus room and we had a live video feed. Now this was old fashioned tech. There was a cable running. Somebody had one of those big old video machines in the middle, and there's a cable that went into the chorus room, and the middle schoolers are in there watching all of this happen. Okay.
Oh, no.
The gal at the videotape, and the kids didn't tell me this till the next day. They said, Mrs. C, it was so cool. She decided that for the kid's, you know, emotional security, the kid that threw up, she better get rid of that piece of the tape, right? Well, the only way she can do that is to run it in reverse and then go forward in reverse and find the right place is, again, old-fashioned video technology. So the kids the next day were like, Mrs. C, it was so cool. The throw-up came out of his mouth, and then it went again, and then it came out, and it went again.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
God. So luckily, that only happened once in my career. I've had lots of fainting. I'm sure you guys have had that, too, you know, where somebody just goes down. But only one vomit. Yeah.
All right, guys. So for this week's recipe note, I have a really simple recipe, but kind of some quick tricks to make it an easier weeknight meal. It's my version of spaghetti and meatballs. So my trick with the meatballs is that I bake them. And I sub out breadcrumbs for something you are more likely to have in your pantry, which is oatmeal. So you use oatmeal in the meatballs instead of breadcrumbs, and you bake them. And then my trick also is that at the end of the bake, I turn on the broiler. And that gives it that like fried texture. And then I finish them. I take them out with tongs, put them in the sauce. It can be store-bought tomato sauce, whatever. Pasta, little side veggie salad dish, you're done. So you have dinner, spaghetti meatballs, cheese on top, maybe a little side salad dish. Really quick, fun, easy weeknight meal. And my kids love it.
I love spaghetti and meatballs. I've never heard of oatmeal.
So it's a trick my mother-in-law taught me. I was making them and we didn't have breadcrumbs. And she was like, you can just use oatmeal because you want that like grain to absorb the moisture and that like binds the meatball together. So especially if you have like quick oats, like 1 minute oats, for me, it works the same as breadcrumbs and it adds like a really earthy, oaty flavor to the meatballs. And I always have oatmeal. I hardly ever have breadcrumbs. It's something I run out and forget to go get.
Well, the more you know.
The more you know. Yeah. And I used to try and like fry meatballs and I get frustrated. And then I realized I can just bake them and then roast them, get the crispy, crispy fried thing on top. And you put them in your sauce and it's really yummy.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay. So that you had so many kids in the program. Which is so crazy to me. And now I'm thinking about like all the numbers and everything with what's going on. Do you feel like you know how you grew it that much? And then once it was that big, what did you do to manage it? Like, did you have delegating or did you?
I don't know. I had incredible support. I had such good administrations there. It's such a neat little school system. It's a little gem.
It really People are going to look it up now.
I think having the university there too makes a big difference, you know, because you're getting a lot of those kids. It was really all God's children though. I mean, the demographics is really everybody. And you were getting a lot of really good parental support. So I think I just had really good, and I'll tell you what, you guys, I don't know what I might lack in musical skill or piano skill or teaching skill. Just having a sense of humor, I think makes a big difference. You know, just being able to, and I might seem relaxed to you right now, but I'm not always the most relaxed person. But being able to tell yourself to chill out and relax and try to have fun with the kids, you know? So not that we didn't work because we worked too, but I think that might, I don't know.
Yeah. I told Sarah one of the things that I always remembered about your kids was the Beanie Babies.
Oh yeah. Even the high school kids wanted them, but I always had them for the middle school kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we just had a bunch of them. That was such a thing when Elise was little.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Cause I'm 33.
Yeah. You're 30. Oh, yeah. Paul's 31. Yeah. She's 20. She just turned 20. Oh God. She just turned 27.
Yeah.
Anyway. I would have a big bag of Beanie Babies, and when they'd audition, I'd give them each a Beanie Baby, and they would just hold, you know, for most of them, they probably just held it. I don't know. But I would tell them to squeeze it. Like when you breathe, when you're singing, squeeze the Beanie Baby, you know? I kept waiting for somebody nasty to say, oh, that you're giving them something that's giving them an advantage.
Oh.
Anyway, it was just a little lovey. you know?
Yeah. So I know, because
so precious.
So many of those things that we do for little kids, I think big kids would still appreciate. Remember that whole pillow pet phase?
Yeah.
When my first job, those got really famous, and then they had to ban pillow pets. It became part of the dress code at school because kids were coming to school with pillow pets.
Wow.
But they still like to like
have a little lovey.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those better pillow pets than slime.
Ugh. Yeah, but they
have the slime. And then the fidget spinners.
Yeah.
At the end of May.
Yep. Elise got in trouble. What were the things? Was it a pet rock or something? Or something you had to feed it. Like, or it would start screaming. There was some.
Oh, the Tamagotchi little.
Or a Furby?
No, it's the little things you wore.
Oh, yeah.
She got into so much trouble at school for that. We had to ban those. Yeah, there's always something like that. But like for districts, I mean, think about that. You're sending your middle schoolers in a room to sit by themselves. Holy moly, that's scary.
Yeah. Like,
I'm 58 and I think I'm scared of that. So.
Yeah.
Right. I had a kid in my class because we're just moving to the hybrid thing. I had a class where he's the only one there on that day. And so we were doing warm-ups and he was doing great and he was doing them, but he was kind of like looking down at the floor. And I was thinking, oh, it's nice not to be the only one singing in here. And then I was thinking, man, in high school, if I was the only person in the room with my choir director, I would have been so scared.
Yep.
And I said that to the kids. I was like, he's so brave right now. And he goes, yeah, I'm pretty scared.
And good for you too. Yeah.
I can't even imagine what they're doing right now.
I want to hear about you serving as our president.
How did that come to be, firstly?
Well, it's so funny. Charlotte Smith. So she was a choir teacher at Christiansburg before Mandy. And talk about an institution, and she was Queen Charlotte. When I was, really young, like in my 20s, mid-20s, and kind of starting at Radford High School, I got a phone call out of the blue. God, I can't even believe I did this at that age and so young. Same thing. To host honors choir. What? You know, you want me to do what? And so that's how I got started. And then I was nominated for district chair and then just kind of worked that way up, you know? So
yeah.
I'm organized. I'm organized. And I think that's what people like about that sort of, you know, I love grids and, you know, scheduling and, you know, so that's, yeah, I went from being district chair to then being VCDA president and then nominated for VMEA president. And that's a 6-year stint. So that was a long
time. That was a long time. And what do you feel like you learned from all that?
Oh my gosh, so much. You know, you get to go to other conferences and learn about good leadership. You know, how is somebody a good leader? And that's not something that you're born knowing, and it's not something you're necessarily going to do as a music teacher, right? So that I just learned so much about how NAFME runs, you know, what used to be MENC, how that whole organization runs, how different states do things, because you do a lot of networking, because we're part of Southern Division, or when I was in Virginia, I was part of Southern Division. You have conferences with all of the other states from Southern Division. And so you just being able to meet people and see how they do things in their state. It was a tremendous, tremendous experience. And all the folks, everybody has such a good heart. You know, the people who do those leadership positions at VMEA, they want to help people out. You know, think about Terry Hall, who was president after me. I mean, they want to be able to help people and help the organization. So, yeah, that's
neat. That's so much to balance.
I couldn't imagine that on top of everything else too.
That was crazy.
I just got nominated to be art district rep for next year, and I'm like, oh, how am I going to do?
Oh, but see, you're at the perfect place right now to do that. You should do that. You should do it. Sure, you're at the perfect place to do that. At least for me at that point, my kids were older. They had asked me to run for VMEA president when they were still in, like, I don't know, middle school or young high school. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. They had to be older, incredibly self-sufficient, right? Although that never really happens. I'm just telling you.
They always, spoiler alert.
The phone rings and I still go, what happened?
They always need mom.
Yeah. Paul is finally, but he had a rough 20s, let me tell you.
Well, do you feel like you learned things about balancing all that too with marriage? Like with two kids, he's in a similar field, because Alex and I both are in the same field too. So we've already had to learn that the hard way.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's perseverance, communication, all that stuff that they tell you. We have sat here so many times. We have our chairs that we sit in that I'm pointing at right over there during this pandemic, and looked at each other and said, I'm so glad I had you. You know, because I mean, it would be so horrible and lonely to not have, you know, and I said, and I'll say to him, I'm so glad I like you.
Right. Marry somebody you can be quarantined.
Yes. Marry someone you like, just like when Mary met Sally.
Yeah. Now.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I mean, during this pandemic stuff, you hear stories about people that you're stuck together, and I just can't imagine doing that with somebody you don't like.
Yeah, I'm glad Clyde's my friend too.
It wasn't easy. I mean, we had fights and we had, you know, I mean, that happens every marriage. It's difficult. You know, with our careers being the same, one of the nice things about that is we could bounce ideas off each other all the time. And we got it. Like when he would come home and say something happened, you know, with the choir or whatever, I got what he was talking about, right? And I know your husband teaches band, right? It's not that different, right? So you're in the trenches, and so you get it. You get what the other person does, and so that's really nice. One of the worst things for us was our schedule.
Yes.
And especially when the kids were little, we luckily had some awesome babysitters that lived in the neighborhood, and we would have somebody on call for the whole month of November and the first 2 weeks of December. Because our schedule was so crazy that we could never, it seemed like every night at least one of us was out. And so it was just nuts. And our poor son, you know, and our daughter. Our daughter is 6 feet tall and Paul is 6'4". And they never got to play rec league basketball because we could not do winter sports with them. We did soccer. We'd do soccer, and we could do baseball and softball, and we could do fall and spring sports. But we could not do winter sports with our kids. That's sort of where we called the, you know, we can't be going to the recreation place twice a week and going to games. It just
didn't happen. Did they want to play basketball?
You know, they didn't ask about it, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there.
You know, Paul danced. He played Fritz and Nutcracker for a whole bunch of years. So we did have that.
What is one of your favorite? We told us one of your favorite and funniest school moments. What about mom moments?
So we would use a lot of the babysitters were David students, college students, right? So it was great. We had this like endless
babysitters.
And one night we went out. I probably had to dinner. And we got home, and for some reason it was two. I guess they were friends with each other that were babysitting. And we walk into the living room, and they look at David, and they just start laughing. So we knew, obviously, something had happened. And they're like, okay, what happened? And Paul was asleep. And they said, well, Paul said he was probably three. Yeah. My daddy sleeps naked, he told them. So, yay. The university class now knows.
Yay, now they know.
daddy sleeps naked.
God, I love those toddlers.
Oh my gosh. And then what was, St. Jude Church. So Elise was making her first communion. And I feel like I should have asked her the story because I forget stuff, but I feel like they were doing a practice. And when we went to come pick her up, the education minister was just laughing because she had to tell the story where they had to practice like taking the bread and then drinking the wine. And the education minister put something in the cup, like it wasn't apple juice, but it was not quite as good because she wanted to get them ready to taste
like
wine.
Like grape juice, right? Or cranberry juice.
Yeah. But it was maybe a little bitter or something. I don't know what it was. But apparently Elise took a sip and she said, I really don't like this. I would rather have Chateau Morissette. It's much better. oh, not just Chateau Morissette. Chateau Morissette, our dog.
Yeah, they're really popular ones.
That's my mom's favorite.
Oh my gosh. How old was she?
When did they do first communion? Six or seven? Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, kids.
The kids will out you. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. In a heartbeat they'll out you.
My dad had us taste anytime. He never really drank a lot, but if he did, he'd always have us taste it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did that to my, I have a really little cousin.
Yeah, she probably tried it. That's probably why she liked it.
Yeah. My youngest cousin, I was probably in high school and we were all his family's in Ohio. We were all together at a cookout and my dad never drinks beer. So this story is really weird, but he was, for some reason, was drinking a beer out of a cup, like a, you know, the red Solo cups. And Bryce was 5 or 6 and he comes over and he says, Uncle Joel, what's that? And he's like, it's apple juice. Do you want some? So he gives it to Bryce and Bryce goes, you know, he's like, this is an apple juice. And my dad's like, that's beer. Remember, you hate it. And so, so he's trying to like reverse. So then Bryce, of course, runs over to his mom, my dad's sister, and is like, Uncle Joel just gave me beer. So that's what he would do to us. So now retired life, which is not really retired life.
No, I don't do that well. I need to take a class.
But like, it's possible, right? Like, I feel like retirement's like this distant dream.
It is possible. Yeah. I mean, I had 32 years in the system and I could have gone longer. But I could see that I was getting a little bit burnt out, and David's 10 years older than me, so he had been teaching for 42 years. So, good Lord.
Wow.
And I think for me, because I was a cancer survivor and I had cancer, you know, fairly young. I was 38 the first time. I was sort of like, you know what? Life's too short to just keep, you know, just keep teaching. Some people can just teach forever and be perfectly like happy with that. And it wasn't that I was unhappy. I was just
right.
I was ready.
Next phase.
For sure.
Well, Lois, do you have any like, I don't know, like parting advice for a young mom or a young teacher? Yeah, now that you're looking back.
My parting advice is take care of yourself. Do you know the app called Headspace? Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it.
It's my favorite. Oh, you
they have
get
a thing
it.
On Netflix now.
I try to meditate every morning now, and I wish I'd had that when I was a young mom. Take 15 minutes in the morning just for you, and that meditation is fantastic. But take care of you. Exercise has always been super important to me. I would try to run every day or work out every day or something, just to take care of you. You have to have, again, even if it's only 15 minutes, a half hour, you can do that. You can wedge that time out just for you, because if you're not happy and healthy, you can't be a good teacher. You can't be a good mom. You can't be a good wife. It just doesn't work. And I'm not saying I was always like that. Holy moly. If David walked in here right now, he could tell you the stories of when I was like screaming and crying and pulling my hair out. I don't want you to think somehow I like did it great. I don't think I did. But looking back, I should have spent more time just again, 15 minutes, a half hour, mm-hmm. it's nothing.
Yeah, like, yes, yeah, yes, I chose this, but also I'm still a person and I want to do all these things well, so I mm-hmm. need time for me.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is you're not always going to do it well.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. You have to be able to forgive yourself. You have to be able, and sometimes it can just be easy. You can just laugh mm-hmm. at it, you know, if you do something stupid or a mistake or whatever. You know, admit you've done something wrong. Admit that you are human. Admit that you're going to make mistakes. And then move on, you yeah. know?
And then move on.
And then move on
from a mistake.
Try to laugh at yourself.
I feel like that's yeah. that is the biggest for me. Then move on part.
Then move Let it go. On. Yeah. Don't think about it 5 years later.
Yeah, because right. I am a dweller.
Right. Oh, I'm a dweller yeah. too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'll wake up in the middle of the night. No, I know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst.
That's where that Headspace app is terrific too. They've got like a wake up in the night thing that you can push.
Oh, I need that. Like once a week, I'm up at 3 a.m. I'm just like
at 3. It's always at 3. I wake up.
You need 3. It's always 3.
See, for me, it's 2. Isn't that funny? You should. You yeah. need to. So I'm advertising for another like.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Maybe they'll sponsor the show.
Yeah, maybe they'll pay us.
Like, brought to you by
yeah. Headspace, if you're out there.
Thank you so much, Lois, for joining us today. I hope that our listeners out there gained some knowledge and wisdom from her, like I definitely did. I definitely feel like I spent time with Yoda in a good way. So for our mom notes this week, Nicole and I would really just want to hear from our listeners. So if you are a teacher, if you are a mom, if you are a musician, if you are a good human person, we just want to hear what you think about the podcast. What guests have you liked so far? Do you have any funny stories or anecdotes that our show made you think about? Just send them in. We want to hear from our listeners and your thoughts and everything. So you can send in your mom notes to momnotespod@gmail.com. And just a friendly reminder, we are on Instagram @momnotespod. We're also on Facebook now, which is super exciting. Nicole's put that all together and been amazing about that. So make sure you're following us on there too. Bye.
Okay. I thought that was pretty good, but I didn't want to say anything. <You're> like... Okay. Blooper. Bye.
All right. Bye. See you next time. 'Alex play sports or is he just a marching band kid?
I can hear you.
Oh. He's just a marching band kid.
The way you said that. What'd you say, Alex?
Rude. Marching band.